Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend. So we have an Olympic-sized creep to talk about today, or creeps. Actually, there's multiple
versions of them.
Oh, my God. This is going to be one of the more intense episodes. I'm just telling you guys now. Tuck that away in your brain, you know, think about that. And if at any time you need to stop listening or whatever, because it's upsetting you or it's too dark, do that. Absolutely. Take care of yourselves.
Absolutely. Always take care of yourself.
You can find us on social media. We do have a private Facebook group. You type What a Creep podcast group, ask to join. If you don't look like a creep, you'll most likely be invited in. And Sonia and I are very interactive there. Mm-hmm. We have a really nice group of people. We kick the creeps out when they're being creepy, but yep. Everyone's just really nice and cool.
It's the best group on Facebook.
It is.
100%.
Indeed. Also follow us on Twitter at CreepPod because somebody had What a Creep for 10 years and never used it.
Creep.
You can also follow us on Instagram, What a Creep Podcast. And our email is whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. And just want to warn you guys ahead of time, we use salty language. So if you don't like cursing, you won't like this show for sure. You might not like the show for a lot of reasons, but that could be one of the bigger ones. So just keep that tucked away in your brain.
Yeah.
And
keep your one stars to yourself about our salty language. We get it.
We get it. You were raised to think people are stupid if they swear. Okay, that's how you were raised. Back the fuck off now.
Yeah, fuck off.
Ay, ay, ay. Okay, I want to thank some people. Sonia, people are getting super clever with the iTunes reviews and their nicknames. Ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so we have Dawn from NorCal, Joni K23. We have PW from GR. Or is that PN? My handwriting's terrible. Tanya TB, R Hernandez 725, and my favorite, all nicknames are taken 101.
That's an amazing screen name. All nicknames are taken 101.
You guys, thank you so much for leaving us a 5-star review. That really helps us find our people in iTunes. And Sonia, do you want to tell them about the website?
I do. It's at whatacreeppodcast.com, and you can find all of our episodes there and a link to our merch shop. And you can get super soft t-shirts and tote bags. And we're seeing some pictures in the Facebook group, and it all looks so great. Mm-hmm. My kid is wearing his What a Creep shirt today.
Aww.
He loves it. He loves his Mommy and Margot shirt.
Aww.
So cute.
That's so great. Okay, so I think we've gone through everything, correct?
I think so.
All right, so we're going to be talking about our creep today, Larry Nassar. If the name isn't familiar to you, you might remember a couple of years ago when there was a scandal with the USA Olympics program. We're going to be talking about him, but we're also going to be talking about a couple of other people that enabled him over the years. And the story, like I said, it's dark, so take care of yourselves. And Sonia, if you're ready, I'm going to dive in.
I'm ready.
Larry Nassar is one of the biggest creeps we have ever covered, which is really saying something.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a few times in the last 20 years where the media has talked about sexual abuse against young athletes, specifically in gymnastics, which has competitions and competitors who begin the sport in their elementary school years. Most people first learned of Dr. Larry Nassar in 2016 when he was publicly charged for possessing child pornography. That's what he was charged with legally, and tampering with evidence. These are the formal charges. The sport has several times in the past several decades was made aware of problems with their trainers, advisors, and doctors sexually assaulting participants as young as 6 years old. And to say nothing was done would be an understatement. Why did Larry Nassar finally come to justice? and who else was punished because of cruelty, abuse, and or just turning a blind eye. That is our story today. And our sources for this episode, we list them. They're in the show notes, or you can swipe on the artwork on your phone if you're listening on your phone. We put everything there so you can look this up yourself. NBC News, the Wikipedia for John Gettert, we'll get to him, the Netflix special Athlete A, HBO special At the Heart of Gold, Larry Nassar's Wikipedia, Time Magazine, the Indianapolis Star, which did amazing work in investigating the story.
More on them later.
More on them later. Esquire, Sports Illustrated, CNN, Bustle, ESPN, and a couple of books, The Girls by Abigail Pesta, and The Crimes of Lawrence Nassar and John Gilbert by Amber Drew. Here are the trigger warnings. Sexual assault, grooming by predators, gaslighting, eating disorders, suicide, and physical assault. Yeah, this is a big one.
Yeah, it's a lot of triggers.
A lot of triggers. Lawrence Gerard Nassar was born August 16th, 1963 in Farmington Hill, Michigan. He has been involved in sports medicine with an emphasis on gymnastics, starting as an athletic trainer at his own high school at the age of 15. He later studied kinesiology at the University of Michigan and practiced osteopathic medicine, which, if you don't know what that is, it's a holistic way of treating a person. So it's not just their physical body, but it's their mind and then their spirit, that kind of thing. Hmm. It's in the United States, it's considered a doctor. You are considered an actual doctor. That doesn't work around the world. Just, I think, America and Canada.
Okay.
So he did become an official doctor in sports medicine from Michigan State University in 1997. Larry worked for Michigan State as a sports trainer and doctor for several sports for the school. In addition to that, he worked for John Gettert, a huge, massive creep who ran a popular gymnastics club called Twist Stars. Twist Stars. One word. Yikes. Okay. Larry's was considered so good at helping gymnasts recover from injuries, he served as a USA Gymnastics official doctor, and he served on several Olympics between 1996 and 2014. I'm sorry, I meant to say official trainer / medical doctor. If you remember in 1996 when Carrie Strug, she was the person who had turned out a broken ankle.
Oh my gosh.
And she landed a vault perfectly, giving the USA the gold, 1996. And that team, they were called the Magnificent Seven, which I think is a Clash song, too. Anyway.
Also a movie.
Also a movie. Magnificent Ambersons. Anyway. So one of the trainers who surrounded her was Larry. So you could see like early pictures of him. Also there was Bela Karolyi. That was her coach. Bela Karolyi, excuse me. He's Hungarian, and he's the man who trained Nadia Comăneci in 1976. She was from Romania, and it was a big deal because she was the first one to get 10s across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So he and his wife, Marta, fled to the United States in the late 70s, and they used their European methods of training and put it in the United States, and they built this place out in Texas in the middle of freaking nowhere. And so nobody could get to them, and it was kind of mysterious. And they just kept that magic going for the U.S. The U.S. all of a sudden started winning tons of awards for gymnastics. Gymnastics also was becoming big business. They were making all these marketing partnerships and making a shitload of money. Not the athletes, but...
No. Why would they?
Silly. They would do things like they would make their athletes work very long hours. They had to line up according to height. He weighed them daily. And his big thing was trying to keep the girls so small that they did not mature or menstruate.
That's fucking bananas to
me. Bananas also is, to me, is like just before Nadia Comăneci. If you look at the Olympics in the 60s and early 70s, Olympians were like 19, 20, 21 years old.
I've seen some old footage, I think, because I watched Athlete A at some point, and the footage of the female gymnastics from the like 50s and 60s, I was like, those are grown ass women.
Yeah.
And that is not what we're used to now.
No, same thing with figure skating.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Bayla's the one that told Strug when she was struggling before she ran and won, by the way. He's like, he's the one that said, you can do it. And
it's such bullshit. Like, it's such a movie moment, right? That mm-hmm. she does the vault, lands it perfectly on her broken ankle, and we're all like, yay! But like, in the real world, it should be this bullshit that she had to do it.
Right.
He's a creep.
So yeah, they're all creeps. The USA gymnastics teams are killing it at the Olympics every 4 years, and anyone associated with the team could create a training environment of their choosing. For example, like I said, he and Bayla and his wife Marta ran a ranch in Texas, and it was called the Caroli Ranch. And at the Caroli Ranch, there were no cell phones. You couldn't have visitors. Your parents permitted to visit you there. You just dropped your kids off, and you picked them up in like 6 to 8 weeks.
That's no.
Which
no.
Is, yeah.
No, I and would Larry's not do this. There. It's insane. But by the way, when I said I would not do this, this is not me shaming those parents.
No,
I am
they
absolutely
didn't know.
Not. No, absolutely. They didn't know.
And there is that narrative, like, in order to achieve in sports, you do have mm-hmm. to work through injury. You have to work through grief. You have to work through the stresses that other people would fall under. You have to yes. be better than that. That's considered being a great athlete.
The agony of defeat, Margot.
Dun, 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 dun. ABC, Wide World of Sports. Okay. Many, many Olympic athletes train there. So the parents were like, well, it's got to be okay to leave my kids here. I mean, maybe he did some crazy shit back in Romania and Hungary, but you're in America, you know. You can't abuse kids, right?
Right.
Well, they were forced to train multiple hours a day. They were weighed daily. If they didn't make their weight, Bella had a punishment, which is called doing the ropes. You would sit on the floor. There would be a rope from the mat to the ceiling. You would sit on the floor with your legs extended in front of you, ankles crossed, and you would carry yourself up the rope just using your arms and your core.
I 100% could not do
no.
that.
No.
No.
And you had to do it multiple times. So, yeah.
Do you know what I think of every time I hear of this? I think of Garth from Wayne's World going, it makes me feel kind of funny, like when I used to climb the rope in gym class.
If you get a spew it to this.
Wayne's World moving up the dorking out list.
So going back to John Gettert, a huge prick, he mm-hmm. ran Twistars in Diamonddale, Michigan. In 1988, he was named Male Coach of the Year by the U.S. Federation of Gymnastics in Michigan, and then he was later fired from the Great Lakes Gymnastics Club. What's his problem? He has a big temper problem. If you look up a picture of him, and I did post them on our social media, and I'll post some more, he is a very tall, mean-looking son of a bitch. He looks just like he could turn nasty in a second. He's just one of those people you could tell.
Yeah.
When they flip out, it's really bad. He plays mind games with his athletes. He also weighs them every day. But he also, on top of everything, he's verbally abusive, and he hits and shoves these girls when they do not perform to his satisfaction. John would mock their bodies and make them perform even no matter how badly they were injured. And more than once, he told a gymnast that they should just go kill themselves.
Jesus.
If they're just not good enough. Also, one of his moves is that if he was mad at you, he wouldn't properly spot you. So you would go to the vault and you would fall and hurt yourself.
Fuck these people.
Yeah.
Fuck these people. Seriously.
And let's say, once again, these girls are going to Twistars. They're between like 6 and 16. Like, that's around, you know, that's, they're young. Mm-hmm. They're kids. He started Twistars in 1996 and hired Larry to be his trainer, and had the athletes go to a back room to be treated by Larry when they were injured and they needed help. Larry was known as the best medical trainer for any athlete with an injury, and he volunteered at his local high schools, at local gyms, and dance studios to help anyone who wanted a treatment.
I wonder why.
I wonder too.
Hmm.
So what was Larry's specialty? He mastered, he would tell you, a physical therapy treatment that was a pelvic manipulation.
Okay. This guy. Seriously. Okay. Sorry. All right.
That's
I'm
okay.
Being quiet.
No, no, right. No, no. I'm going to digress because I'm going to explain something to you because I worked in fitness for 10 years. I was a trainer for a little while. I'm certified through NASM, which this is one of the first things they tell you is that if you have a weak muscle, there's an opposite muscle that might be overused. And so, you know what? Do you know what text head or text neck is?
Mm-mm.
That's when your neck kind of tilts forward because you're looking at your phone all the time. You're looking at your computer screen. If you do a lot of driving, your shoulders are up to your ears.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And you're kind of dipping your chin out or down. A lot of people have this. And so as a trainer, if I notice this when I would teach people in a spin class or something, like I say, a lot of you guys, you have underactive pecs and you have overactive trapezius. So, and I would walk over and say to you, your pectorals, which is the muscle just above your breasts, between your shoulder blades, that's weakened because you're folding it in. And they're getting smaller and smaller. And then the back of you, the trapezius is between your shoulder blades on the back, right below your neck. That's being hyperused. And so it's creating an imbalance. It's going to give you headaches. It's going to make you walk differently. And while I'm telling you this, it all makes sense. You know what I'm saying. And as I'm talking to you, I would probably either touch myself and point to those areas, or I would touch you. I would ask first.
Of course.
But my point is.
And then I would cry and be like, don't talk about my pectoral muscles, Margot. And I'd get up and run out of the room.
I've had a few people do that. I have to be really careful.
That's so sad.
So my point is that when someone is explaining physical things like that, you're going to give that person some props and you're going to say, huh, they kind of know what they're talking about. So if they're touching me, they're not being sexual. They're just explaining shit to me. Larry's move was, there was a few things. He was a great groomer. And people think of like child molesters, like they're roaming the streets or they're hiding in alleys and stuff. I'm like, No. They hide in plain sight. Larry's thing was he was the nice guy versus John or Bela. Any of the coaches, like if when they were being cruel to the girls, Larry would offer hugs. When they would go to his room to get treatments, he would give them candy. He listened to their problems. He would like them back on Facebook. He would send texts. He would talk about their families. It was a whole thing. He sneakily garnered their trust. And, okay, so this is the tough part.
Yeah.
Once you went to Larry's office, quite often, most of the time really, parents would be there. Fathers or mothers would be there. Or older siblings.
Mm-hmm.
He would talk incessantly. The entire time. And it's like an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes. And he would position the medical bench and his chair so that he would have his back to the person that was the parent or whatever. And he could block their view of their kid from like their shoulders down. They would kind of see their face, but that's it. As he was doing this and talking, he would take his hands and he would explore their bodies. When he was saying he was doing a manipulation of the pelvis region, he was taking his hand and putting it inside their vagina. Mm-hmm. He did not use gloves.
No gloves. Fuck this guy.
It was painful. He would do this if the girl had an ankle injury. He had this line of bullshit like, if I hit here, it'll be there on your body. Now, a lot of people said, hey, these treatments worked. And they work because massage works, therapy works, physical therapy works. I mean, 50% of what he's doing is not harmful, but that doesn't make this okay.
Right.
He would poke his fingers inside their anuses and he would play with their breasts. All of this he called treatment.
Fuck this guy.
I mean, seriously. It turns out he's been doing this since easily the 1990s. Larry also would have treatments in his home basement, and he would offer free services to anybody who couldn't afford to get his treatment at one of the other places.
In his basement.
In
oh, that's like such a
basement.
Such a red flag. Also, this is a good example of how fucking broken our healthcare system is that he can offer shit like this in his fucking basement. And people are like, it's free and I can't afford health. Like, they need something.
My kid's injured. They like playing softball, or they like dance, or they like gymnastics. And I want them to keep doing it. This makes them happy. And they would leave. Like, it's such a mind fuck what he did to these girls. It's just...
It is so fucked up, and it's, you are not joking when you say he's one of the biggest fucking creeps we've ever covered, because we put so much trust into our medical professionals. Mm-hmm. I mean, who are we trusting more?
Right.
They literally have our health and our lives in their hands, and this fucking monster.
Yeah.
Fuck this. I know I've said it a million times. Fuck this guy.
He also sexually assaulted a friend's six-year-old daughter in his basement, and he did it for several years. He started slowly, and he did like hide and seek, and then he would just build it up, build it up. When she finally had the guts to tell her parents, he denied everything and said she had an active imagination, and they took his side.
That's crazy.
And then she completely gave up. Like, okay.
That's awful.
Awful.
That poor girl.
Ugh, my heart breaks so much. No, some gymnasts did go to the police. There was, in 2004, one of them went to the police, one of his former victims. Larry was called in to explain himself. And what Larry did was he showed up with his laptop and a very detailed PowerPoint. He would talk about how what he was doing was medically necessary and not abuse. And his thing was, he looked like such a dork, such a dweeb, that he looked harmless. But it was very detail oriented. He would just use, he knew the names of, and there's so many muscles and so many names for things. And he just would do that fluently. And the cops were like, well, he's not abusing them. It's kind of weird, but he's not abusing them.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014, another gymnast filed a Title IX complaint against Michigan State for allowing Larry to abuse athletes. He was placed on leave for a few months, but ultimately the board felt that there was a nuanced difference between what his accuser thinks happened to her and what Larry said was a valid medical treatment.
Once again, the lengths people will go to justify this kind of shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
In 2015, Michigan State Police started an investigation about Larry, and they went to the Ingram County prosecutor for a misdemeanor sexual offense. The prosecutor declined to press charges. Same year, a gymnast named Maggie Nichols filed a complaint about sexual abuse on the sport to the USAG, but that program was run by a guy named Steve Penny. And Steve Penny was a sports marketer, and he's the one who set up all these deals with Olympic athletes, with like McDonald's and Wheaties and all that stuff, and brought, once again, a shitload of money into the sport.
You know, this dude is someone who's like, marketing's totally in my wheelhouse. Why don't we download about this later after the meeting? Fuck this guy.
Years and years later, he admitted, he was in the company for like 20 years. He admitted that whenever there was a complaint filed by a gymnast about abuse of any kind of a trainer, he would put it in a file and never actually investigate it.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Another winner here is a coach named Kathy Klagis. She coached gymnastics for Michigan State. And in 1997, one of her athletes went to complain to her about Larry. She did not believe this girl, and instead, she called all of the gymnastics team to come into her office, and she asked them, this is what this girl is saying Larry's doing. Is that true? And most of the girls said no, and another girl raised her hand and said, yeah, he's doing the same thing to me. It's a problem. She decided not to do anything about it. She told them they were misunderstanding him. These treatments were important because they weren't, if you got injured, you're going to be kicked off the team. She ignored their complaints. 20 years later, she told the police she had no recollection of this conversation.
Of course.
Sure, Jan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John Gettert, I have some tidbits about this real piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
When Larry had a patient slash gymnast who was working with a painful rib issue, and this is the guy that would shove girls around and shove them into the balance beams and all this kind of crap, and he made her go to see Larry because her ribs were really bothering her. She probably had cracked ribs, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, no shit.
Larry's big treatment was to ice her breasts with his hands. He would put ice in his hands.
Oh.
And then he would play with her nipples.
Yeah, of course he would. Yeah, because he's a fucking monster.
She was 12 years old at the time.
That poor girl.
He did this in his office with the door open. When John Gettert saw this treatment, he made cracks about the size of the girl's breasts.
Oh. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm gonna take a sip of this wine. It's not helping. Fuck this guy.
He constantly body shamed his gymnasts for being, in his mind, fat, and would monitor everything they ate and weigh them constantly. When he found out one girl had a frozen yogurt for a treat for her birthday, she had to write him a letter of apology before he would let her take lessons again.
I'm starting to think I have an inner gymnast coach in my brain, actually.
If he liked their bodies, he would tell them that they could be Victoria's Secret models.
Cool. The ultimate compliment.
Yes. He would go on to have a romantic relationship with a few of his gymnasts, but he would wait until they were legally 18. But he knew them usually for a few years before. So that's called grooming.
Yes, that is called grooming. And fuck this guy. How many times can I say fuck this guy in this episode? Okay.
We got more. He was usually at least 10 years older or twice their age. He would start grooming early when he would offer hugs and teddy bears to his favorite athletes. Mm. One of those athletes said that she wasn't one of his favorites. Excuse me. There was an athlete that got pretty high in his system. She had kind of this birth defect that kind of made one of her legs a little bow-legged. And he would joke with her that the boys will love her because she can't keep her legs together.
Gross.
Then there was the time that the same girl, she crashed into a vault and then she landed on her hands and knees and she was trying to catch her breath and knock the wind out of her. He jumped on top of her and mimicked mounting her in a sexual way.
Jesus Christ. This is disgusting.
Yeah. All right. So let's get back to these other people. In September of 2016, two former athletes, Rachel Doliner and Jamie Dancher, reported to the Indianapolis Star, and it's indystar.com. Check out their coverage of this stuff. It's the main newspaper for Indianapolis. That's where the US GA was. But they talked to them and described that Larry abused them and then went into the deep, deep details about his methods. And this is something else, too. Like 10 years ago, people would just say molest. They wouldn't say what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And people can easily kind of pretend like, well, that's nothing, right? Here they really stated he did this. Also, what happened is that USA Today also did a story about it. So now the heat was on for Larry. He is fired by Michigan State, finally. At the same time, he is running for school board for his kid's school and gets 20% of the votes because some people still did not want to believe he was guilty.
I would say that probably 10% of those people didn't even know who they were voting for.
Yeah.
No one pays attention to school board. They should. FYI.
Yeah. This is a good reason.
But they probably didn't. But right. Seriously, fuck that guy.
This time the police had two witnesses that they could use to charge against him. So he was charged with first degree sexual criminal conduct with a minor under the age of 13. This was the person I mentioned to you before that he began grooming her when she was 6. She finally made her parents take her to the police. And her parents feel terrible about this, by the way. I'm sure they don't sleep well at night. I'm sure that's really hard for them. So I'm not, people make mistakes and they don't realize how bad they are sometimes. The mistakes are. Between September and December of 2016, the police and the FBI were monitoring Larry's computers and online usage. He was found to have over 30,000 videos and images of children in graphic sexual situations.
30,000.
37,000.
37,000. That's
4 months.
What the fuck?
Right.
If I think I have 300 pictures on my laptop, I'm like, that's a lot. That seems like a lot of photos. 37,000. That's insane.
I probably have that many of my cats on my phone, to be honest with you.
But that's not illegal.
Right.
You're just a cat lady, and that's okay.
He is finally charged with possession of child pornography, which is, by the way, that's the official charge, but that's what he had, if in case you're wondering what that means. That's what he had. In January of 2017, 18 women sue Michigan State, USGA, TwiStars, and Larry for the abuse and cover-ups. His medical license is finally revoked. In February, Larry is charged with assaulting 9 more girls. In March of 2017, Steve Penny steps down as president of the USGA. Larry pleads guilty to having, and that's in July of 2017. By this time, 119 women have come forward to tell their stories about Larry, and they join into a massive tort lawsuit.
That is so many people, so many women whose lives
were damaged by this.
Yeah.
By November of 2017, even though he previously stuck to his, these were proper medical procedures, he pleads guilty to 10 counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct. He is sentenced to 40 to 175 years in prison for the actions that happened in Ingham County, Michigan. The sentence for the assaults that occurred in Eaton County was set for January 2018. In December of 2017, he is sentenced to 60 years in federal prison for the pornography, the child pornography charge. That was the official charge. Now we're going to get back to one of the biggest events about his sentencing. And I think maybe internationally, people, there was a lot more attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're talking about next was just like huge, huge news everywhere. And for good and sufficient reason. So if you're ready to let out that rage and here's some righteous comeback. We're going to go to one of the biggest events about his sentencing, the victim impact statements in front of Judge Rosemarie Aquilini. Ever since he was originally charged, more and more people keep coming forward about sexual abuse, rape, and gaslighting by Larry Nassar. Now it's going back to his early college days. Literally hundreds of women have accused him of assaulting them thousands of times. Let's say this again. Every single time they had a treatment with Larry, they were assaulted. And some of them went to see him once a week for years. So just do the numbers. She offered Judge Aquilina the victims to come to court and give their statements, impact statements, give them a chance because he was going to plead guilty and he didn't want to go to a jury trial. His attorneys were smart enough to be like, just do take whatever they give you and try to lead a more quiet life in jail or something, you know, protect your family. He's married, by the way, and has kids, but I don't want to, I'm not talking about them.
Yeah. The judge offered these a chance at some sort of closure, which a lot of people don't get.
Most don't get.
Yeah.
So at first, a few girls agreed to do it, but then the word got around that even women who won gold medals, like Allie Raisman and Jordan Weber, they were going to go there and give their statements. So a lot more girls and women now are coming forward because it's just their chance to just get it off their chest and be believed. Like up until this time, some of them thought they were crazy. Like I must have imagined it. I don't know. Or they blame themselves, you know, for what happened to them. I mean, it's just, ugh. Over the next several days, 156 survivors give their impact statements. it's devastating to hear it, but the women encouraged one another and they just got stronger and stronger, and they were rooting for each other and their families were there with them, and it was cathartic. You know, you never really get over a thing.
No.
But sometimes you can have like a really great day and you can remember that day.
Yeah.
And how you felt. And I think maybe this is this for them. Well, Larry started feeling really bad about these women and all these impact statements. So he sent a letter to the judge and said that listening to all of their different testimonies was stressing him out and causing him anguish.
Poor baby.
He also doubled down on his treatments being medicinal and not criminal. He blamed the media for creating a narrative for these women that was false. Here's his direct quote. "I was a good doctor because my treatments worked. These patients that are now speaking out were the same ones that praised and came back over and over and referred family and friends to see me. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned."
Fuck this guy.
The media is sensationalizing this. Going one step further and denying any wrongdoing, Nassar said, "I was so manipulated by the attorney general and now Aquilina, and all I wanted was to minimize stress to everyone. The FBI investigated my Olympic medical treatment in 2015 because nothing was wrong. Now they're seeking the media attention and financial reward." And Judge Aquilina reads this out. She just so disgustedly like throws the letter on her desk, like it's a piece of dog do.
Yeah, as she should.
She told him, "This letter, which comes 2 months after your plea, tells me that you have not yet owned what you did, that you still think that somehow that you're right, that you're a doctor and you're entitled, that you don't have to listen, and that you did treatment. I wouldn't send my dogs to you, sir. There's no treatment here. You finally told the truth." She ultimately sentenced him to 175 years in prison and said she was signing his death warrant.
That judge is badass. She's
so badass.
More of those, please.
Yes, please. In May of 2018, Michigan State settles a lawsuit and is ordered to pay $500 million to 332 of his victims.
332 people.
Just from MSU, Michigan State. That's not the dance schools. That's not everything else. Right. In August of 2018, Larry was assaulted at a prison in Tucson when he was released into the general population. They don't like child molesters in prisons.
No.
That's a thing.
How fucked up are you when like other prisoners are like, "You're the fucking worst.
You're the worst. The worst." He is now in a prison in Florida. His wife divorced him. And like I said, I don't want to mention the kids. They didn't do anything. Stephen Penny was arrested and charged with tampering with evidence for his crappy job running the USGA. When he was at the Corelli Ranch, he destroyed evidence.
Destroying evidence, and it's totally in my wheelhouse.
Oh, is that wrong? Shit.
Oh, I didn't know.
Oh, sorry about that.
I didn't know. I read it in the brief. So sorry.
In February 2020, Kathy Klages was found guilty of lying to the police about hearing allegations of abuse by her gymnast. She was shocked to find out that she was found guilty and was sentenced to 90 days in jail. She's probably served it by this time.
I would think so.
Yeah. John Gettert, and this is also another dark turn here, you guys, was suspended by USA Gymnastics in 2018. He says he retired. He was recently charged with 20 counts of human trafficking of a minor, 20 counts of sexual assault, being sexually involved with a minor, and lying to the police. And you talk about white male privilege.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him the chance to turn himself in.
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong?
You know, Lori Loughlin, like, paid for her daughters to get in USC, and the FBI busts down her door with guns ablaze.
Seriously.
This guy could just drive in and turn himself in. He was scheduled to turn himself in on February 25th, 2021, and they found him at his home dead by suicide. And many of his victims were upset because they just were never going to get their day. And they were upset, you know, it's a horrible thing, but also they just never had a chance to face him in court like they could with Larry.
Yeah, they want their day in court, of course.
Yeah. And that's where we are. That was the latest news. So those are our creeps this week from the gymnastics world here in America. I'm sure it exists all over the world.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have access to kids and their bodies and places to take them, I mean, it's really frightening. And I'm hoping more people talk about it because then I want it to stop.
Yes.
That's why we talk about it, because we want it to stop. It can't be secrets anymore. We've got to, you know, get rid of these people that are hurting kids.
No, it's 2021. We can't not talk about it. We're talking about shit now. Mm-hmm. That's the new motto for 2021. We're talking about shit now.
Yep.
I hope it's not happening in other places, but it might be. And yeah. I want people to speak out, and I hope this stuff stops.
It's especially, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you go.
I, working for the Y for so many years, every 5 years, everybody knew about this. You had this training, and it was online training, and it was videos. It was about child sexual abuse. If you had camps at your gym where there's kids, you know, mm-hmm. So everybody had to take this, and everyone was like totally traumatized by them because it's upsetting.
Yeah.
But they had people talking about that were convicted of child sexual abuse. And I guess, you know, maybe to reduce their sentence or part of their parole is to talk openly about what they did and why and how they got away with it. And it's men and women. It's young and old, good looking, not good looking. I mean, there's no child molester doesn't just look like one thing. You know?
No, we all have this, like, he's totally gross and he's got like the mustache and you know, it's that's not a thing. Like,
no.
I mean, it's a thing, but there's also other people that don't look like that.
Right. I mean, how many school teachers are, you know, women that are like young and going like taking advantage of young boys in her class? I mean, but the key things are they become a hero to the kid. They buy them treats. They are the adult that cares and listens and seems to really want to be around them.
You're so cool. You're so cool.
And you're special.
You want to be with me.
Yeah. To take that and exploit it for your own gain, is just so disgusting. But if there's somebody like that, like, they'll pay the bill, you know, the light bill at the last second. They'll be like, they'll fix something in the family that nobody else could do. Like, they have these ways because they will insinuate themselves into a family. Like yes. Larry did.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to kids, teach people to have agency over their bodies. And that's my speech for today.
Margot, you did such a good job on this one.
Thank you. It was hard. It's a difficult subject, but
it's so difficult.
But I really love these women and I want to, like, you know, give them all a hug and tell them they did great. And they're awesome.
They did. And one of your sources is a Netflix documentary, and I just assume everybody has Netflix, so you could watch it. It's called Athlete A. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good, and you get to hear from some of the women that Margot is talking about, and it's just so great. And you get to see clips from the impact statements, and it'll feel like a punch in the gut, but it's important.
When I was quoting before, by the way, between the judge and Larry, I just want to say I cut and paste a little bit from Bustle. I mentioned that as one of my sources. I'm just being honest. I got that part. I just read out because they wrote it perfectly. So that was from Bustle.
Yeah. Do you want to hear about someone who's not a creep?
Oh, sweet Jesus. Yes.
I've got a team for you, actually. It's Marisa Katowski, Mark Azalea, and Tim Evans. And they are reporters for the Indy Star. And everyone knows I have a soft spot for reporters because I used to be one. But also support your local journalists, y'all. This is important. So much of this story, so much of what Larry Nassar did came out because of good old-fashioned reporting. This team of investigative reporters did a story on sexual abuse charges at the USA Olympics, and it's Rachel. Oh my God, Dolinger? Where's Rachel's name? Yes. She read the story. she had long moved on from gymnastics. She's like mother, three kids. I think she told the story in Athlete A. She had like one of the kids like strapped to her chest and one of those little baby Bjorns. And she sees this story in the Indy Star about these kinds of allegations. And that's when she decides to come forward and tells her story. And then as she tells her story, the reporters start digging more and more. It's just really amazing. So the Indianapolis Star, the Indy Star, and USA Today made this huge commitment. This doesn't always happen anymore. We all think everything's all the president's men, and it's just not. Newspapers are kind of a dying thing, and reporters are severely like underpaid, and there's not a lot of resources. But the Indy Star and USA Today made this open commitment to investigating this story. It was 2 years. It was three dedicated reporters, an editor. They traveled to 12 states. This is very expensive for newspapers. They interviewed so many people. They went through countless documents. So much of what they did resulted in Larry Nassar going to prison and other people being charged. It all started with this. And I just think it's just subscribe to your local newspaper.
You know what? If they have an online subscription for your local newspaper, just they're never that expensive. You know, or just do it by the month if that's what you can afford. And you don't even have to read it, but just subscribe to it. Keep them employed. Keep these reporters employed, because there is going to be a story in there that you're going to care about. You don't want a story to go away because your local paper disappeared.
Yes. We're all signing up for, like, especially after Trump won, there was this big push where like the media is the enemy. The media is the enemy. And a lot of media isn't. They're not the enemy. They want to tell a good story, you know, good stories. I put that in quote. They want to tell stories. They want to inform you. They want to do their jobs. Mm-hmm. They are underfunded. They are overworked. Not everybody works for the Washington Post and the New York Times, which I subscribe to both. And after watching Athlete A, I was like, I need to subscribe to the San Francisco Chronicle. I need to be supporting our local newspapers. Now, your local paper, Margo, is probably the New York Times, and that's totally fine. But the Indy Star, when we talked about Jeffrey Epstein and we talked about the reporter who helped bring down Jeffrey Epstein, she wrote for the St. Petersburg Times, I think.
Miami Times.
Like, Miami Times, thank you. Mm-hmm. There's, the Houston, I think there's one called the Houston Star. There's so many cool newspapers out there that are doing these like really awesome stories, and they need our support. We all think we should just get news for free, but people, this is how they make their living. Right. So I wanted to give a shout out that's an insane amount of commitment from a newspaper to give them 2 years and three dedicated people, an editor, like I said, to do all that travel, to talk to all these people, and to like vet all their stories, and just fucking props to these people. They deserve it.
Yeah. And if there's stuff you like to read, like I love Vanity Fair. I got an online subscription for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? New York Magazine, I make sure to subscribe to. But yeah, your local paper, really help them out. I mean, we want them to keep going. I mean, it's just, these stories need to be told.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned 20% of the people still voted for Larry Nassar for school board. A local newspaper can help you with this.
Right.
They probably, you know, we all know that things in the world and on national levels, that this shit's super important and you should be informed. But there's also stuff in your community that's happening that impacts your life that you're not paying attention to because it's not going to be in the New York Times or the Washington Post. And it could be something as simple as your school board, your city's parks and recs department, just your local city government, your city council, whatever. There's shit going on. They could be opening a fucking Starbucks right on your corner and you'll be like, that ruins the traffic in my, you would know that. If you'd read your local newspaper, these are things. I'm sorry, I get passionate about.
No, but you would also know if, like, somebody that's applying to be on the school board is a child molester, and maybe
that you want to know. Because some people just vote because they seriously. What happened is people probably opened up their ballot and they saw the name Larry Nassar, and it was like Dr. USA Gymnastics or some shit right. like that. And they were like, I like all of those things. Vote.
Right.
That's probably what happened because they don't know. Like I said, I love newspaper reporters. They're doing hard work. It takes special people to do it. So those are our Not a Creeps.
Yep. That's a good job, Sonia.
Thank you.
Well, that's our episode this week. And if you like the sound of our voices and you don't want to hear so much about the creepiness in the world, but some fun, we co-host a show called Dorking Out. And our next episode is going to be about Troop Beverly Hills, 1989. This, oh, my God.
This was Margo's choice because her birthday's coming up, y'all. Her birthday.
March 29th.
Yep. So we wanted to, I was like, it's your birthday. You pick whatever movie you want, which by the way, we pick whatever movie we want all the time.
Right.
But I was still like, your pick. And she picked Troop Beverly Hills, which I've never seen. And spoiler, I super loved it. So it's going to be super fun.
So be sure to subscribe for that show, Dorking Out. Find us on all the things social media wise. If you have suggestions for creeps and or non-creeps, we sometimes have a real hard time finding a good non-creep in the category that we're using that week. So reach out to us on social media everywhere or send us an email, whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. We do like it when you use the Andy Potts gift from Ghostbusters. We got one. That always kind of catches our attention. But you find something equally clever, go for it. And be sure to subscribe to our Patreon. We put bonus episodes through our Patreon. It's super fun. We get a little boozy. We spill the tea and we name names and all that good stuff. If wherever you get your podcasts, please leave us a review. If you like the show, that would be great, especially in iTunes. It really helps us find our people. You really like it, leave us 5 stars and a review, and you can leave your ideas for creeps there or non-creeps there if you don't know.
Absolutely.
What to write. But try to come up with a clever nickname because that always just cracks us up.
Good call.
Yeah. So Sonia, where can they find you?
You could find me at thesoniashow.com and the Sonia Show on Twitter and Instagram and occasionally TikTok because I heard the kids are there. Where can people find you, Margo?
They could find me at Brooklyn Fitchick for Twitter and Instagram. I started TikTok. I don't know what I'm doing yet, but if y'all are on TikTok, follow me, Margo Donahue. If you're not doing something gross, if it's really gross, don't follow me.
Yeah, keep your gross shit to yourself. Don't put that on TikTok. What's wrong with you? Don't do that.
In the meantime, wash your hands. Keep social distancing. Try to get that vaccine if you can. I signed up for mine.
It's happening, people. It's happening. And get your vaccines.
Get your vaccines and don't be a creep.
Be a creep.
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.